Yeah, in the trap, hanging places that you can't go. Glock 40, he got smoky at a Draco. Thousand nights on that corner eating egg rolls.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to TNT Hoops. It is March 24th, and we're recording some content after the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament have now completed. We kind of wanted to apologize for the brief hiatus, but we're going to just try to put out episodes top of the week, bottom of the week, whenever we feel like content's needed, I guess. I'm here with my co-host once again. Quiddy, what's good?
What's good, Ansel? Chilling, man. Very well said. We're going to be bringing out more content for you guys, top of the week, bottom of the week, like he said. You know, just keeping it, you know, organized in that manner.
Also in the room, our guy Southside, back off his great season at East Stroudsburg. Just lost in the playoffs a week and a half ago. I was out at that game. Did a great job with those young guys this year. So I was good.
Yeah, my man coached at East Stroudsburg. I coached at Upper Darby. We weren't that successful this year, but, you know, we did our thing. Whatever. But what's up, man? Let's talk about the squad. Let's talk about our guys, man. Sixers, we've been looking pretty good. You know, we had a six-game winning streak before last night when we got, you know, called out by the Hawks there. A trap game, you can say, in the NBA.
Yeah, definitely a trap.
You know, a young team at the end of the year. We're on a winning streak, you know, part of a – we're leaving home and, you know, have to go there in a couple of days. You kind of just think you can roll the ball out and win that game, but, you know, that's not the case when you got young players, young good players at that, Trae Young, John Collins, guys that, you know, have a future, a great future in this league.
Yeah, and credit to Lloyd Pierce as well. He was on our staff last year and handled a lot of our defensive assignments.
Definitely a good coach, yep.
So he knew a lot of our sets, and a lot of the Hawks sets are kind of just based off of what we do. So all the time it's going to be a close game when we play them.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, that was a tough one last night. But, I mean, let's talk about, you know, the streak itself, you know, how we look.
I'll run you through the stretch. From March 10th, we had a win against Indiana, then we beat Cleveland and Sacramento after that. Then we came into our big game against Milwaukee, which we'll touch on probably predominantly throughout this conversation. Then Charlotte, which was a close one, but thankfully we swept them this year, which was
all tough games. Yeah. It was like there was something like four games. You know, we swept them four games, and the point differential was 10 in four games that we beat them.
That's crazy.
10 points in four games. We won every one of them.
Jimmy Butler,
yeah, he hit the game winner. You know, yeah, we always won in down the stretch with them. But
and then we had the game against Boston.
The Boston game. That's it. Let's get it.
Yeah. And then
guys.
Atlanta. So let's just, I guess, the two most important games, as we said, were Milwaukee and Boston. What are your thoughts on that Milwaukee matchup? We went there on Sunday, March 17th. Got 52 points from Giannis that night. Just really difficult. 52, 16, and 7. Got to the line extensively that night. 21 points from there.
Right.
A cool stat that I saw when Embiid was on him, he was only 5 for 12. And then Embiid also guarded him throughout the fourth quarter. We saw that a lot and did a really good job on, in my opinion. Just give me your take on that.
I mean, I liked how it looked. I never thought that we would go Embiid on him, but it kind of makes the most sense, mm-hmm. you know, considering you know he's not going to really shoot that outside jump shot, or that's not really what he wants to do. You know, he was showing that he will shoot it if you play so far off. Embiid was kind of playing in the paint. And, you know, at 7'2", and B can move well, so you can't just, like, attack straight at him and, you know, try to get, you know, finish at the basket over him. So he's definitely altering that shot no matter how Giannis, you know, comes right at him. But I think we match up better, you know, with Milwaukee now adding Jimmy and Tobias. You know, we have a balance, you know, that balance first five, like, we – that's like the strength. Like our five is stronger than most people's fives. You know, the rotation is shoring up. So we've been playing our playoff rotation. Like our bench guys, you know, they come in and just play defense at this point.
Yeah.
You know, they stagger with the, you know, our main guys. Starters, yeah. Play defense, so.
I think that's a big part of it too. We kind of just let the rest of the Bucks not beat us, but we let Giannis do his thing, obviously, throughout that night around the rim. But Bledsoe and Mirotic were 6 for 21. Mm-hmm. I think Mirotic was really off that night, and he broke his thumb the next day.
Right.
It was kind of just bad rules for him recent.
I mean, and Brogdon's out now, too, so that was, like, the first.
That was the first game without him.
I think it was the second game, first or second game, playing without him. So, you know, they're definitely adjusting to that. People would look at him as a star player, but he's averaging, like, 15.5, you know what I'm saying, 16 points a game and 50, 40, 90. You know, 50 from the field, 40 from 3, 90 from the line. So, he's, like, one of the, like, one of only four guards in NBA history to do that. So,
yeah.
And then they're definitely missing a huge piece.
To couple from with Embiid, then they, Butler also gave us 34 minutes. Fourth quarter Butler. Just once again showed up again.
Was phenomenal. I love Jimmy Butler when he's aggressive. Like, it's just a whole different player. Like, when he's in the fourth quarter, you know, the way he plays is kind of like, he's so laid back. So when he's actually hooping, it's so smooth. He's like, you know, he's using ball screens and maneuvering in that mid-range area. Yeah. And like, you know, shooting the floaters, getting all the way to the rim. Like, you know, I like when Jimmy plays like that. He was dominant down the stretch against Milwaukee and obviously Boston, which we should talk about, you know, right now.
So, just I guess my final question for you about Milwaukee is just going into.
I would love to play Milwaukee.
Yeah, I would love to play Milwaukee.
Like, I would rather play them. My fault about your question, but I'd rather play them than Toronto. What were you going to say?
I mean, that was it.
Yeah, I'd much rather face them than Toronto. I still think Toronto's the best team in the conference.
Uh-huh.
We'll talk about that later. A little bit more later. We'll touch on like the standings and the, you know, top teams. But
yeah, so let's move on to that Boston game then. So then we played Boston on the 20th. I think that was like a Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And two things for me. Like, the first caveat is Smart and Baines both having to exit the game. So they're kind of
big factors.
Yeah.
You know, not big time scorers, but you know, the guys that do all the dirty work.
Yeah.
Guys going to guard and be for 20 minutes. A guy that's going to, you know, guard our best perimeter player, Marcus Smart.
Ties.
Right, and not right and be killed everybody. They put on that night, but you know, losing Marcus Smart too. You got Kyrie on Jimmy Butler at the end of the game now. And, yeah. You know, that's big. So I mean, of course, I took from it like you get that monkey off your back kind of as a Sixers. Yeah. Like, no matter how you got the W, you got it done. Like, these are guys you can't beat. You don't even beat them when they don't have Kyrie.
Yeah.
So you know, losing Aaron Baines and Marcus Smart and even Terry Rozier being Gordon Hayward, even Gordon Hayward being out with the concussion.
Well, just as an aside, we talked about that earlier. This is kind of good for them, and we don't like that as Sixers fans because now Jaylen Brown is getting bulk of those minutes and getting comfortable again.
That man, and it's crazy because Brad Stevens is such a great basketball mind, and I know he knows that Jaylen Brown's a much better basketball player than Gordon Hayward right now.
But they're just financially invested in Hayward and kind of have to see what they can get out of him.
That's his guy, man. Yeah. He recruited him, played at school. Like, that's, you can see it. Like, they're trying to, but I know Jaylen Brown, he had like 30 tonight. You know, he began like 30 off the bench. Like, he's, you know, legit. Even he could probably be starting over Marcus Smart, but Marcus Smart, you know,
he brings a different level of intensity on a possession by possession basis. That, like,
right,
like with Embiid, like when he was going back and forth with Embiid, that stretch before he got tossed, like he was hounding him. You know what I mean? And like, to find a guard that can do that, like from off ball or like any side Embiid's on, if Smart's on that same side, it's gonna be an issue.
Do you remember in that game when Embiid? Well, obviously you remember, but the play, like, and B gave him a little chicken wing elbow or whatever, and Marcus Smart like took crazy offense. So, like, and they were saying too, like, on, you know, like, oh, Embiid hit him first or Embiid initiate. Like, he said, if anything, it's an illegal screen. Like, it wasn't even anything malicious. This man just got up and pushed him as hard as he could. Like, come on, bro.
Yeah.
Like, Embiid, he flopped.
Embiid be chatting too, though. Like, you know, Embiid definitely saying some crazy.
But, like, if you look at the exact play, though, like, even if you go on the monitor and go look, all it is Embiid setting a screen and trying to extend his body a little bit. People do that all the time.
Yeah.
People, you know, nudge you with their rear. Like, people do it all the time. So, I mean, that wasn't anything. I'm not even being biased being a Sixers fan. It just was like he gave him a little nudge. So if anything, you call offensive foul, but it wasn't nothing for Marcus Smart or Marcus Dumb to get up and just push. Like, come on, bro.
My takeaway is just two things. Defensively, we struggle with their guards, like Kyrie and Irving. Like, once they both got in operating from the top of the key, they were just killing us. I feel like Rozier never misses when he plays the Sixers. I'm going to stand on that hill for a while. Like, he comes in and just kills.
He's getting easy shots. You got to think, like, we look at it like, damn, like, why Terry Rozier be killing us? He doesn't do this on any other team. But we don't have anybody that can guard guards off the bounce.
Yeah.
Like, the guards that's going to get, you know, the crafty guards, the Terry Rozier, the Kyrie Irvings. Like, we don't have guys that can stop Kemba Walkers. And that's why, you know, we're going to talk about this playoff, who I'd rather play on playoffs, I say Detroit. Because Brooklyn has 3, 4, maybe 5 guys that can, you know, really
go
attack
at us,
you off the bounce. Yeah, from the perimeter spots. And yeah, you have Ben Simmons. He's a good defender. You know, Ben's a really good defender, on-ball defender, and help defender. But he's 6'10". Like, some of these guys are so small and crafty, and they get right by him. Kyrie was right by him. Like, come on. Like, You're gonna put Ben, like, if you, and you think you, like, he can't, he's, his body, he's 6'10", so, like, you set a ball screen on him.
Kyrie just
he
gets right up head, under him, and then
you set
just
a ball screen on him, he right past you, and then now you just behind him, yeah. That's, like, you know, trying to use your length and follow, but they don't have, we don't have anybody that's gonna sit in a stance and really hound a, you know, a ball handler.
It sucks, because that's what Jonathan Simmons was supposed to be, or as I hear, if he was healthy, and, like.
Right. Markel, like, too, though. Yeah. Even, like, that was what, you know, that was, like, we don't, like, that's why they drafted Markel Fultz to guard point guards.
Yeah.
So Ben could guard off the ball, and then J.J. Redick can be hit a little bit, you know what I mean? But now you got to put your worst defender, J.J. Redick, on their point guard every game, because that's kind of the best matchup. That, you know,
and
what I mean?
He's just so, cooking them. I looked it up, actually, and Rozier, he's in the four games against us this year, shooting 50% from the three-point line.
Yeah.
And Kyrie's averaging 28-8-4, so that says all you need to know about all that.
Right. I mean, even Marcus Smart gets off a little bit because he posts up Redick. Like, it's just, you know, I'd rather play. Like,
they know how to expose us. Like, that's just as simple as that.
Any team with guards. So, as far as the playoff matchup, who would you rather face? You know, right now it's looking like Detroit and Brooklyn are fighting for that sixth seed.
Yeah, I just pulled it up.
Who would you rather play?
Brooklyn, where they have cooled off a little bit since the beginning of March. They had, like, a 3 straight losses to OKC, Utah, and L.A. The back end of their schedule, like, their last 9 games is just brutal.
So Brooklyn's, you just said they caught up? Yeah,
because right now they're ahead of Detroit right now by a game.
Or a half game.
Yeah, a half game because Detroit hasn't played one. But they have Portland, us, Boston, Milwaukee, Toronto, Milwaukee, Indiana, and Miami to close.
Damn, that stretch is, that's a crazy, NBA stretch to end the season. Like, they'll probably go 500 over that at best, unless they get real hot. Yeah. So you're thinking, 42, 43 wins.
Yeah, and a lot of those teams are playing for, positioning and seeding. So it's not like they're not going to be teams that are just packing it in at the end.
And so, yeah. Compared to
Detroit, Detroit just has Denver, Orlando, Portland, Indiana twice on a home and home.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, Charlotte, Memphis, New York. So it's looking more like Detroit.
And also in terms of, matchup style, you got to think Blake and Drummond are the two best players, right? So, they're going to get canceled out. Drummond's going to get canceled out that. You know, then that's their.
I'm willing to battle in the paint with Drummond.
Come on. Drummond is terrified of Joel Embiid. You know what I'm saying? Blake Griffin is really good, and he's going to get his numbers, and he's going to dominate offensively. But we got Tobias Harris that's going to give us 20. So, you know, whatever Blake's giving us, it's not like he's dominating his position.
The thing about Brooklyn, man, it's just they're just so it's so persistent throughout all the games. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson is always on the glass. Who's the dude for Jared Allen?
He guards Embiid well. So, think about that. There's a lot of things that factor in. He plays good defense. He can guard bigs, and he's a great weak side defender. He really affects and alters so many shots.
That's one of those series where I keep hearing a lot of the analysts say, if the Sixers are down 2-1 playing in Brooklyn, and say we're down in that game with 5 minutes left, that could be one of those series that really breaks us as a franchise, you know.
I'm not,
because I don't think we lose to Brooklyn,
I'm not even
thinking
2-1 to any being down 2-1 to Brooklyn or Detroit.
But it can hack them a lot easier with Detroit or with Brooklyn.
I would say that, but I think we beat both of them in 5.
Okay.
I don't know if we're the team yet to sweep anybody. I don't know if we
no,
can.
We don't have that in us.
Yeah, put together. We beat the Heat last year pretty convincingly in 4 and 5. But we lost. We split at home the first 2 games.
Yeah.
So if we are, we come out and, play to our potential with that starting five, and that starting five dominates, and we just come out and kill you twice in the Wells Fargo Center those first 2 games, then you can just go split on the road and come back and, end it in game 5. So.
And that's good for us because we would have to play Toronto in the second round. So say if we did get to match up with Detroit, and then Toronto's kind of been worn out a little bit from playing Brooklyn and going 6 games with them, it would just bode well for us.
Toronto's really 4 games back from Milwaukee now. I wanted Milwaukee to fall back so we could play Milwaukee, but it's not even close anymore.
Yeah. That loss the other night to OKC was rough, man. I was watching that on Friday night, and you could kind of tell that because Toronto had just beaten them the night before in OKC. Yeah. And so, towards the end of the game, Kawhi was obviously being Kawhi, and he was drawing, but Russ and Dennis Schroeder has been having a crazy stretch this March. Just been playing really well at that second guard spot.
So. I love Dennis Schroeder's game. Yeah. He's simple. He's just a simple scoring, point guard. He's great to come off the bench.
Yeah. That kind of leads us into our top four for the East and the West. I guess we'll just stay in the West right now because we're talking about OKC. Right now it's Golden State at 50-23. Denver is one game behind them, or a half game behind them, actually.
All right, go ahead. You can say the standings, but I was going to say, who do you think your top four teams are? Like, if I was to ask you that. Because, the standings don't matter at this point. We understand what's going on. Like, OKC being at 7 doesn't matter if they're at 7 or 2. Like, that's not going to change anything in my perspective about OKC.
Clippers are over OKC, which is crazy to me.
Are they? What is it?
Just the standings. Just Golden State, Denver, Houston, and then that 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 spot gets crazy. It's Portland is 2 games up from the Clippers, 45-27. Then the Clippers are 1 game or, a half game up from OKC. Then Utah is same exact record as OKC. And then San Antonio rounds out at the 8th spot with, a half game behind Utah and OKC.
That's so crazy, that's so crazy.
It's wild. With 9 games left. That's nuts.
We were talking about the Kings and Lakers. They're 7 games out now. Like, Lakers are 11, those teams really, the Spurs really the 8th seed in the West. Like, they're having a crazy stretch right now.
Yeah.
But who would you be if you were to pick 4 teams?
Golden State, Houston, OKC, and San Antonio.
My 4.
San Antonio. Doesn't matter where they're at.
I'd say Spurs or Denver, obviously. Like, you just got to give Denver the respect for being so consistent this year. But I'd still pick the Spurs over them.
Yeah.
But
if the Spurs play Denver, I'm not that confident in saying Denver comes out of that series.
Yeah, I think the Spurs are better at this point.
Like,
this little stretch they've shown, all right, we got 2 legit elite players like DeMar and, LA, Marcus Aldridge that we can, play around. So, they can, build around. They have a guy with Derek White. That rotation that they little building, that little core right there.
Brent Forbes, Patty Mills.
Popovich is amazing. It's really crazy. No matter who's in the system, it's working. It works because they know what guys, are Spurs guys. But, that'd be my 4.
To what your point, they just beat Boston and they up in the Garden and Aldridge had 48.
48.
That is crazy coming from, up here.
Come on, so they're half game out of the 5 spot. That's real tight right there from 5 to 8. Oh my god, it's all separated by a game.
Yeah, and I think
5 to 8.
I'm trying to think just kind of for matchup wise, who would Golden State want to avoid the most in that second round?
I mean OKC, just in general, but they'll cook the Spurs. They beat the Spurs in 5. They beat the Jazz in maybe 5 or 6.
OKC would be the closest matchup, just like you said. All right, and then for the East, give me what you got for the East. Your top 4.
My East right now, top 4 in order is Toronto.
Okay.
I have Toronto at 1 because I think they're the most complete team.
Yeah.
In terms of top to bottom, depth. Not that that matters as much in the playoffs. You only go 8 or 9 deep, but 9 or 10 deep, I guess. But Toronto can play a legit 10 to 12 guys that can legit play. Even if somebody gets hurt or, somebody goes down, they have, serviceable backup. So I have Toronto at 1.
Yeah, Van Vliet's also getting a lot of good minutes right now with Lowry out. I think that's kind of an underrated storyline because he was out before Lowry. Now he's coming back in. He's going to be putting in the fold for the last 10 games going to the playoffs. So.
Right, him and Jeremy Lin getting that.
Yeah, that split time at point guard time.
So 2, I have the Sixers. I've seen enough. I mean, we beat Milwaukee and Boston, I have us over them right now. I think we have the blueprint to beat Milwaukee just because of just how I was saying earlier. We just match up well with them. They're a one man wrecking crew, and our team is about balancing 5 or 6 guys and scoring the ball. So I think. Ultimately, we're better than Milwaukee. Then I have Milwaukee and Boston 3 and 4, and I don't know.
It's pretty sturdy in the East. We know the top 4.
Two are going to play each other in the second round. Who would you pick right now?
I would pick Milwaukee.
Milwaukee would be out.
Right now, just because of the home court advantage, and I think
Boston, it's almost Boston could go up to Milwaukee and get a dub, but it's almost no, they couldn't. And what I mean? It feels like they have enough talent to go get it done. They can lock in and get it done.
Well, I think it's more of I'm not as confident as Boston at home. I know the Garden's crazy, but I have more confidence in Milwaukee being able to go to the Garden and steal one.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, Terry Rozier was talking crazy, saying, "Yeah, I know where the team to beat." He was on Kristen Leahy's show or whatever. He was saying, "I know where the team to beat, because I know nobody's coming into Boston and beating us." Straight up said it like that. So, yeah. All right, I hear you.
Yeah.
But yeah, those are my top four. I mean, everybody. That's pretty much everybody's top four. It's those last two. I don't really know who. Riley, what do you think, Milwaukee or Boston? If they were playing a series right now, who would you?
Go Boston.
Boston will win. Yeah,
that South Side says Boston.
Too deep. Yeah, and Milwaukee. Milwaukee is deep too, but people were saying, I think Milwaukee's depth was getting kind of overrated at the beginning of the year just because how well Giannis was playing and how well Budenholzer had the system, you know, rolling. But when you like actually look at their role players now, they're not that good.
DJ Wilson is not that crazy.
George Hill,
like Ilyasova,
you know what I mean? Like they all are like sturdy players. Like Paul, you get Paul Gasol, like you get those type, or is that that's more. Yeah. They got Meritich, but like those dudes, are they really going to be on the court guarding it in the playoffs? Like. I'm talking. Yeah. Jason Tatum is scorching all of them.
Yeah,
like you know what I mean.
If Jason Tatum gets back,
Jaylen Brown, all these dudes, like they're cooking them. So
yeah,
I don't know. Milwaukee is a little shaky to me now. They obviously had a a great run this year, but I don't know about them as a playoff team at this current moment.
All right, we'll flip from that going into the teams that are not in the playoffs, and particularly the Los Angeles Lakers for the first time since 2005. It's weird for an NBA fan.
Not the first, like, it's been LeBron's first time missing the playoffs since 2005. Not the Lakers making the playoffs.
Oh, I'm sorry, not the Lakers. Yeah, LeBron, just to correct that.
But yeah, Lakers not making the playoffs. It's LeBron's first time since 2005. Like, let that set in. Like, that's so crazy to think about.
Yeah.
Like, where it's 2019, obviously, almost 15 years later, and. I was looking at something the other day, and it was saying all the things that's happened since LeBron, you know, hasn't made the playoffs. The best song in 2005 was Drop It Like It's Hot. Top hip-hop song was Drop It Like It's Hot, Snoop Dogg and Pharrell. You know, let that run for a little bit.
When the pimp's in the crib, ma, drop it like it's hot. Drop it like it's hot.
Y'all definitely was playing that. Drop it like it's hot.
Rocking that.
I used to go up to. We used to go and at recess. I'm like, I know the whole song. Like I knew all the lyrics. Drop it like it's hot was fire. Yeah. Snoop definitely was bull. Still is bull. But drop it like that was the number one song. What else? So they said Netflix was still delivering DVDs at the time.
Yeah.
iPhone wasn't out yet.
Zion was catching windmills on the Tyson hoop.
Right, Zion was 5 years old. Think about that. Zion Williamson right now going crazy. He was 5 years old.
Yeah.
Man, Drake was still on Degrassi. He wasn't Drake. He was Aubrey Graham.
Yeah.
On Degrassi, light-skinned dude with them fat eyebrows. So, yeah. It's been a lot since that dude. Like, this is his second year in the league. Like, he's in the year, what, 16?
Yeah.
Is this 16? Yeah.
I've kind of come to grips with it, though. Like I guess since it's been like a week now, since it's kind of settled in that he's not going to be in the playoffs, and I think it will be good for him. Like, we saw that message that he put on Instagram and Twitter earlier today. Like, the spell will be over soon. And just to have a whole offseason now, instead of playing an extra, I don't know how many, 400-plus minutes in the playoffs, like, you kind of just get to relax, hang with his family, shoot his movies, and do the business deals and all that, and then get back to basketball for a full summer. So... sucks for an NBA fan to not see it, but I think we have enough fresh talent in the NBA to kind of hold us over.
People are killing me with that. Like, I'm genuinely sad that LeBron. Like, okay, I get it. I get it. Mm-hmm. I understand. Like, you're used to that. It's kind of like Tom Brady retiring or something, or Tom Brady not being around for a year. Mm-hmm. It'll feel weird. Yeah. Like LeBron not being in the playoffs. But come on, like, you got Giannis, you got Harden, you got Curry, you got Embiid. Like, you got all these young dudes, man. If you don't enjoy the playoffs, man, Brian wasn't going to win it this year anyway.
Yeah, he would have just dogged himself out getting swept by the Warriors in the first round. Yeah,
realistically, he wasn't going to win it this year anyway. So, I mean, look at all this young talent in the league. Don't complain about, you know, LeBron not being in the playoffs. Enjoy all this young talent. But speaking of young talent projected talent in Lonzo Ball, those reports. Who?
I don't
know if you heard.
I think Ramona Shelburne. Broke the official report.
She broke the report that Alan Foster, the co-founder of BBB, Big Baller Brand,
founded Lonzo's in 2014.
Brand. Yes, sir. Founded in 2014. Lonzo was missing 1.5 million from his bank account. Well, suspicions that Allen Foster was pocketing and trying to enrich himself, you know, in by, you know, promoting the brand. And
yeah, you know, I'll just give you some backstory to Foster. Tell me what you know about. He was previously convicted of money laundering, which is basically just funneling cash through different sources just to kind of clean it up. Everybody's seen Ozarks and stuff like that. In 2002, for about $4 million, he was convicted to 7 years in like a federal prison, which that's no small.
Oh man, that's crazy though. Like, why? All right, keep going.
Lonzo's dad met him because Lonzo and his, I guess, Allen Foster's son also played on the same AAU team when they were like 10 years old and had a friendship since then. As you said previously, they got into business in 2014. And so I guess a week ago, Demo, Derek Moore, Lonzo's like day to day manager, alerted Lonzo about an inquiry about just some of the expenses from Ball and the Family. I think that's shown on Facebook, right?
So that's how it hit?
Yeah, and
Demo told him, like,
well, he just had, like, he had a, like, a question, just kind of,
you saying, like, where is this?
Yeah, okay. A financial question about some of the expenses that were being incurred on the show. And that led to them just kind of looking more into the emails and stuff like that. And their accountant, this African dude, Lukanga, is the name they're referring to him in the ESPN article. Couldn't physically file their taxes last year because of this missing $1.5 million. And like one of those key reports in there is that Allen Foster wired about $474K to his own personal like consulting account, which is wild. Like, you know what I mean? And for Lonzo, you're kind of letting your father handle your business dealings. And like, you have a lot of things going on and it's hard for you to watch your money with a microscope. And it just kind of sucks for him to have to deal with all this and the injury. So I do kind of feel for him.
He acting like, the thing is though, like when you just break it down to the most simple form, like that's just so crazy to do. Like this family, like he saw whatever potential in this family and did what he did. But it's like, even while you're doing it, like this family is keeping you afloat. Not saying they're keeping you afloat, but
they brought you in as like a friend, like, and like, like he owns 16% of the Big Baller Brand. Like that's like a huge stake.
They brought
you in
and trusted everything you were doing, and you just skimming off the budget. Like that's different. Like how humans, you know, are like that. Like can't trust nobody, man. Because that was crazy when I saw that. Because I watched the show. Like I watched the Ball and the Family show, and he's on there. Like he's with the family. Like on an everyday basis. Like a father figure. Like to Lonzo. Like and the boys. Like they all look up to him. Like, you know, Allen runs this. Yeah. He, you know, gets our business out there. He promotes us. Like, and I was getting the impression.
I would like to hear his side of it, and just to kind of hear what is really going on. But right now, it doesn't look good. But the silver lining, and I guess kind of for Lonzo, LaMelo, and LiAngelo to a certain extent, like I think they're kind of going to drift away from just their father's wing and input, and not completely do their own thing, but start to just kind of
understand that it's not going to be all about BBB and their pop yelling.
Like, if you want to make your own decision and sign with a different shoe company and shoe deal, then so be it, you know?
No, but one more thing on Allen. I have an inside source, you know, from the JBA. Right, a little area, a little bubble. I'm not naming any names, but they were saying, like, you kind of get that vibe from Allen because they're around him, you know, for the league, the Big Brand League. Obviously, Allen has to pay the players, you know, to play because it's like a, you know, a semi-professional league.
Mm-hmm.
And they say you get the, because the article described Allen as have a criminal, what they say?
A criminal history.
So, you know, they say you get that criminal history vibe from it. Always, like, he's always, like, fishy. Always seem like he up to something.
Yeah.
And they said, like, a lot of players weren't getting paid. Like, it's funny, too, because on the show, they showed when some kids were literally, it was so funny. Some kids were literally just, like, walking up looking dumb sad, like, yo, like, I haven't gotten it. I ain't get paid nothing yet. Like he said, I got one check and I never got paid since then. And like Allen looking around like, oh, we gonna get it taken care of right away.
Yeah.
So
it's weird that the Ball and the Family show shows that, but it kind of just, it goes to show
that you're on real, like they show basically everything.
That it is a lot harder to run a business than a lot of people perceive. And I'm not saying they've done a completely poor job as of late, but the ship needs to be righted and hopefully Demo and Lonzo can kind of figure it out and straighten things out for the Big Baller Brand.
Yeah, man. I like Lonzo and their family personally. I think they're like a cool family, you know, successful African American family, you know, playing basketball, the best sport in the world. So, you know, I support them and I support their grind and with their brand and all that. So I wish, you know, them the best and, you know, moving forward or whatever. But it's March, bro. So Let's talk this tournament a little bit. Let's wrap it up with the NCAA tournament.
Okay.
You know, Sweet 16 is now set. My bracket's looking kind of good. What your bracket looking like?
Yeah, my bracket's not looking too hot this year, man.
Cool. You try. You were, you know, Ansel was the type to try to pick all the upsets. But you know, when you're doing the brackets, you can't pick the upsets because nobody else is going to have that upset anyway. So it's not like if they won, you'd feel a certain way. Just go with the teams you know. It's definitely going big. Like,
well, I just decided to try something new this year. Yeah. I didn't watch college basketball as much this year as I have in previous. I think I'm slowly shifting towards being just a full-time NBA basketball fan, just because there's on a night-to-night, like that Toronto, the Toronto game was the first, the Toronto OKC game on Friday night.
Right.
I was like, the second game of the tournament is great. I'd rather watch that. So, but I still think
I don't know about the regular season. Like, those NCAA, those, these tournament games are amazing.
Yeah, they have been, they have been great.
I don't know if it's the days. I don't know if it's the, you know, vibe, just you just knowing what's at stake.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's like a vibe run, and then you, it's like, you're like, it's like 64, what is it, 64 teams, you got 32 games going on. The first day, you got like 5-6 teams playing at once, you know what I mean? It might be like 3 or 4, but you got 3 or 4 teams playing at once, you flipping back and forth, you know, people set up, get all the TV, like, it's just, I love the vibe of that, that rush tournament, so.
I think that Ja Morant, so when Ja Morant played Marquette, like, that's what kind of reminded me how cool, like, college basketball is, because, like, all year, that's, because, although I don't watch college basketball on a night-to-night basis, I do know about the stars like Ja and Zion and all of that.
Right.
And just to see him kind of go off for a triple-double, like 17, 15, and 13. Like,
crazy thing is, man, he just played well. He played well, obviously, but it's almost like people were just going – because it was the NCAA tournament. Like, he didn't play. He had a lot of turnovers. He probably had like 6-7 turnovers.
A lot of unforced turnovers, but like the
he
fact –
he trying to get too crazy. And like, all I'm saying is he's such a great player. Like, he – he played well. Obviously, he got a triple-double. What, 16 assists? 17 assists?
Yeah,
something like that. But, like, you can tell people are just getting on a train now, so they're trying to, like, gas it up a little bit more. Like, this dude was averaging 25 and 10. Like, this is what he does.
That is wild.
You know what I mean?
So, and then even going into that Florida State game, even though they lost, because Florida State is just crazy athletic, but he made his first 4 threes, so, like, he can't, like, I guess going into that game, like, the knock on him was, we probably have to just keep him out of the paint, force him to shoot jump shots. Like, he's more of a set shooter, and he showed that, like, listen, I'm able to knock it down off the dribble.
He's flat-footed with it, but it go in, and he, you know, he got good rhythm with it. But the final, I mean, the Sweet 16 right now, you got Duke, Virginia Tech.
Okay. Who do you got in that game?
I got Duke.
Obviously.
They got four. Three of the best players in the country, top 5 players, you know, Reddish, Zion,
snuck
RJ.
One out earlier today, man.
It's crazy, though, because those games, they're freshmen, so it's like you see
the rawness.
The immaturity, the inexperience, but then the talent just takes over. So it's so fun to watch, man. But, yeah, I got Duke over Virginia Tech. Then LSU, Michigan State, I'm going with the Izzo, man. That dude, they always, I feel like Michigan State's always, if they – you know, win their first two games, they make a run. And if they're going to lose, they lose really, really early. So, I think Izzo, you know, overcomes LSU.
Okay, what do we got next?
Got Gonzaga and Florida State.
I got Florida State in that one just because they go 8 deep from what I've seen. And like, the way they handled Murray State, like just...
Yeah, I definitely got the Zags, bro. Yeah. Like, they've been dominant all year. 30-win team. 30-win teams, man. Those teams are used to winning. They got experience. Experienced guys, they got a pro, the big dude, I don't know how to say his name, it's like Rio, but big dude, they got Clark, Brandon Clark, they
Hawaiian
got
Hawaiian dude or something.
So they, I mean, they got, you know, they got experienced guys and they got talent.
Okay.
I got them over Florida State.
What we got
Texas Tech, Michigan, I got Michigan.
Be honest with you, I haven't watched Texas Tech or Michigan yet. I missed both of those games.
When Texas Tech plays up tempo, they got like a really good wing. I forget his name.
Yeah.
But really, do you know the one that plays for Texas Tech?
Culver.
These stuff. So they, I mean, they have a. They play really well tonight. All
right, and then we got.
I got Michigan over them. Then you got Virginia in the South. You got Virginia and Oregon. I feel like Virginia, they got the monkey off their back. They won early.
I don't know, man. Virginia's it's hard for me to like them as a top tier team.
They're beating
man.
Oregon, though. like Oregon snuck into the Sweet 16. Obviously, not snuck, but you know, they're a little, the 12 seed that made it. They won their first two games.
They would,
not
they would have been higher than a 12 seed if Bobo wasn't hurt.
He's hurt, so it doesn't matter. Virginia, I mean, DeAndre Hunter, Kyle got, they got experienced guys. DeAndre Hunter wants to win. He couldn't play last year. They couldn't score in years past, but they got their best player back this year. They score about 70 to 75 a game. I like Virginia over Oregon. Purdue, Tennessee. I got Tennessee.
UT, baby. Home state.
Got Tennessee. Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield. They got some experienced guys.
Incredible
as well.
Name, by the way.
Yeah, they both play really well today. Their guards are, you know, seasoned too. So, you know, those teams are the ones that really make runs in these tournaments. I actually have them in my championship.
Then we got UNC Auburn.
UNC Auburn. I got UNC, most complete team in the country.
Yeah.
UNC goes, like, I've been feeling like they go like 8-9, maybe like 10 deep.
Yeah.
Every year. Then Kentucky, Houston. I got Calipari leading his guys past Houston.
I'm gonna take Houston in that game.
Yeah, they look good now. I mean, yeah. I have Kentucky right now on the thing, but on my bracket. But you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Houston. Yeah. Boy, they play really fast. They play with confidence. Another 30 win team. Kentucky's obviously young.
Watch that at Wofford game. It didn't look good for me. Just late game, and you can kind of see Kentucky just scrambling around, and it's starting to.
So it makes a pretender for you.
Yeah, I think
might as well hop right into that. The pretenders and the contenders. Then, like, who's really contending for this title? Do you think, like, who would you, like? Me personally, I say Duke, UNC. I say Duke, UNC, Tennessee, and Virginia are like the four teams that can win it.
Yeah, we only disagree on Virginia. Huh? I said we only disagree on Virginia. I have the same three, and then I can't put Virginia in that.
Okay. What about Gonzaga? No.
If Gonzaga gets by,
they play Florida State, then they'll have to go to the winner of Michigan and Texas Tech.
Yeah, but I actually take that back. I kind of want to say Michigan State as my fourth team, but
yeah, I mean, hey, Michigan State got Cassius Winston. They got like experienced guards, and guards always winning. Like guards make runs in this tournament, so they definitely have a chance.
But. For I guess just kind of since I said Michigan State, give me what your thoughts are on Tom Izzo, Yona, Aaron Henry. I know you played under Coach Scott Koval, if that's how you say his name.
Koval, whatever.
Yeah, he's kind of a tough coach, and I don't know if he'd explode like that, but
yeah, he wouldn't do that. No, but
Your experiences playing under hard-nosed coaches or coaches that kind of. Willing to get in your ear. Just what do you think about that situation and how it was handled?
Right. So, yeah. Izzo yelling at Henry. I don't think, you know, in the most simplest, like, way to put it, I don't think the message or I don't really – apparently he didn't sprint back on defense, and that was what – that was the basis of what, you know, he was angry about. Yeah. And that's something you can control. Your effort, like, there's a lot of things in the court you can control to an extent, like shooting the jump shot, like you're going to try to aim it as best you can. If it goes in, it goes in.
Yeah.
You know, you trust your work, you trust your mechanics, but sprinting back on defense, like stuff like that, you always control that, how hard you play. So I think he's just holding him to a standard. The thing I had a problem with was the finger wagging in his face and the fit like that, the antics, like that's when you start like showing it up, you kind of showing him up and you kind of challenging him to challenge you back. But
yeah,
it just, that's a little bit too far, but you can yell at him. You're his coach at the end of the day. Like these dudes, like these kids come in and they're really good. They're 18 years old. They're like a father figure for these guys, for these players when they're 18, you know, about to, you know, go to the league and have their whole future ahead of them. Right.
Yeah.
These guys are setting them up. So, you know, some moments they get tough on him. I don't think there was really anything, you know, wrong what he did. Like me playing, I played under a lot of coaches, and you know, I've played under coaches that scream at you, throw basketballs at you, like, you know what I'm saying, a lot of different coaches, like they all take a different approach. It's like kind of how they, you know, release the message they want to give to you. But I don't think what Izzo was doing was anything like malicious or he should be like, you know what I mean, like so I've seen people taking it far. What's your thoughts on it?
For me, if you've kept up or watched Michigan State over the past couple of years, you've seen guys like Gary Harris or Draymond Green come through there, like, you know what I mean, or Denzel Valentine, like the way that he coaches that team shows you that like he has to be intense and like things are gonna be like that because right. it's a gritty and like he's gonna yell at you for not running back right. on defense. And one of the things he said in the interviews, when you get to the NCAA tournament, it's one and done. There's no more my bads,
yeah.
right? Like every possession matters, and like we could be out of this whole dance, and these seniors who've dedicated hours, hundreds and hundreds of hours, can be, all be gone in a second. So like I can't just take your sorry excuses. So you're gonna hear about it from me.
Right.
And I do agree with Scott Van Pelt. I had a really good take. Last night on his one big thing, and he was just kind of like, when you're on the outside looking in, like it looks crazy, right? Because like all you know is like this guy's going berserk. You don't really know what he's saying, and like you said, like it's all the antics and all that. But if you really watch it, like from an athlete's perspective, not saying for myself, but like in the huddle, like the other seniors were able to pull Coach Izzo back.
And we got him. Yeah. Cassius Winston, like a senior, like yeah. somebody's been there. He understands. Like they were saying, like, I don't know, I might have saw the same interview as you, but they were saying, you know, like, he's been there before.
Yeah.
Like he's been in the shoes of that kid, so of Aaron Henry.
And they just kind of want to get to the next play right. and like actually like finish the rest of the timeout. Right. And for Aaron Henry, like, I'm sure from everything that I've heard and seen, like, he didn't really have that much of a problem with it. So the Bucks should just stop there. Like, if the kid didn't have a problem with it, he likes being coached under that style and manner, and he went to Michigan State right. and he knew what he was signing up for, then right. we shouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah. Last thing on that, I saw somebody say, I can't wait till this, you know, generation of coach fades. This generation of these coaches fade out, and this coaching style is just out for good. And it's almost like people are just getting so soft nowadays. Like, it is what it is. Like, he's coaching them. Like, first of all, it's emotion. Like, when you're in the game, you're in the heart, like in the battle, like yeah. in battle, in motion, like you're not thinking up my mouth.
You're not gonna say, "Hey, maybe get back on defense." You're not gonna whisper to him exactly. and make things lovey dovey and give him a hug and say, "All right, exactly. go to the bench. Let's have this time out."
So you know that's his style. He took. So yeah. I find nothing wrong with.
Yeah, and everything, and I think because everything can use improvement. So sometimes like there could be a different approach of how you do it, and
right.
maybe you can yell at him in a different like because. You've seen some coaches, like I've heard like Bill Belichick or like Andy Reid, when he snaps, like it looks like he's just talking to you regular,
yeah.
but he's going in on you.
But yeah, right? exactly. Everybody's like different.
Yeah.
So it's like, and it is too, somebody said, I was thinking this. So it's like, you got to think about it too. If a coach is yelling at you, like if a coach is just chill, there's coaches that just chill. Like, you know, they're getting paid. Like yeah. they did what they had to do. They prepared.
He cares. And they were up like 12. Cares, they were up like 12, man. 13
exactly.
at that point.
They were up there. It was like a 10-0 run. And then yeah. that was like the bucket they scored, you know, to stop the run. So it's like, coach is yelling at you like that. He got love
for you. It's accountability, man. And I think.
But he got love for you, period, though. Like that coach, you know, he loves you. Like he got love. If he's going out of his way to, you know, scream at you and try to make you a better player because he probably sees the potential. My coach would always say that to me. Like my freshman year, he would, it was like noticeable, like he was at me. Like, and he came up to me one day and asked me, like, do you think I coach you hard? And I said, yeah. And he said, why? Why do you think I coach you hard? And I said to him straight up, I said, I don't know. I think maybe because you think I have potential. And he said, that's exactly it. And he just walked away. He said, that's exactly it. And then he walked right away. Like, just left me with that little cliffhanger. Like, hold that now. Okay? Like, what are you talking about? So, yeah.
It means a lot, man. So, like, for any future athletes or future coaches out there, don't be afraid to kind of get into your athletes. And,
right.
and like, if they're messing up and doing something where you think could use improvement, like, you beating around the bush isn't doing them any favors.
Definitely got to be direct. I like that message. I mean, straightforward. You gotta want to be coached, and you gotta want to, you know, buy into what's being done. So that's part of it. So do you looking at this tournament, right? Last thing to end with, is there any like intriguing prospects? Like, you think anybody, you know,
is improving their draft stock or anything right now?
Yeah, or like any guys you think will fit on the Sixers, or even like just guys because every year you kind of watch the NCAA tournament and you see a guy and you're like, damn, like, where was this guy all year? And then you look on the draft board and he's there and it's like, oh, all right, well, he's been good. Like, this guy, like, that's how it is. Tyler Cook, the dude I saw today on, I think he's on Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah, he plays for Iowa. He played at Chaminade with, is it Chaminade or Chaminade, whatever, with Tatum.
Okay.
And he's like a 6'8", like power forward dude, like a power forward. Like he can score around the basket. I think he can step out and shoot it a little bit. It'd be a nice little pickup for the Sixers. Like, he's sturdy.
Like you said earlier, like Culliver from Texas Tech. If he were to I mean, they have him right now at 11th. But depending on how the draft goes.
Are you on NBADraft.net?
Yeah.
What's
so I guess
this NBA comparison? If you just click on it, they'll give you a comparison.
Let's see.
And it'd be like random.
Sophomore comparison.
Or
yeah, Nick Anderson.
Nick Anderson, okay. Nick Anderson, actually funny. Do you know about Nick Anderson? Mm-hmm. Like the story of Nick Anderson?
Enlighten me.
Do you know about it? He basically, he played on the Magic. Like, he played with Shaq and them.
Uh-huh.
And he, it was on, like, the documentary, like, Shaq documentary, when he was with the Magic before he went to the Lakers. And they were playing, like, a real big playoff game. Like, I forget what it was. And he missed a free throw. But they said after he missed a free throw, like, his career free throw percentage just went down crazy. He never was able to, like, ever adjust from it. Like, that's so crazy. Like, the thing, well, he just missed one free throw and... You know, in the playoffs, and after that, like everybody in the league said he just was never the same free throw shooter. Like he never his game, he just lost like his swag to his game. Like he wasn't shooting well because he let the whole city down. So, yeah,
that's a shame.
So that's his pro comparison. Yeah, he's a good player. What do you think about Carson Edwards from little dude from where's he go?
Purdue.
Little guy, he's been there for like 3 years.
Twist. Yeah, he was dry. He had 42
tonight on Nova. Or last night on Nova.
That was incredible.
I was telling my boys earlier, I was like, look, if the Sixers draft him, because he's going to be like early second, mid, like, you know, like the 30 to 40 range maybe. We can get him. Sixers can get him. See you later, TJ McConnell. Like, somebody going to pay TJ this summer. Somebody going to throw TJ $6 million a year, you know. For a couple years this summer. Like, that's just what's going on. That's his value right now. So, Carson Edwards from there. Admiral Schofield from Tennessee.
Like, if we can get a guy like that, like, even though it says he's 6'5 here, which I just don't believe. Like, he plays
a lot bigger. He's a little bit bigger, but he's a big 6'5. He's like, what is he, like 240? He can shoot the ball. He can really shoot the ball. Nice little look on his form.
Plays defense. Like, I kind of look at him like a David West.
David West.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking more kind of like a Kevin Knox, like that big, like raw. But like, he's not really that raw. His game is pretty polished on what it's going to be, but you know what you're going to get from him.
Yeah.
A couple more names I had down. Kobe White. Like, Kobe White's been good all year. I've seen him play.
Real good pace.
He has all
game.
That crazy hair.
Patient.
But he can really hoop. Like, this tournament is kind of showing. Like, he don't look like a freshman out there. He's a cool customer, like, he doing his thing. He scored a ball. He remind me of, like, I saw his pro comparison with Gilbert Arenas.
Okay.
But I don't.
That's an interesting one.
It's like he's just like a scoring point guard. But I don't know. I feel like he's more of a facilitator than Gilbert was. Or I don't know.
Yeah.
I like the comparison a little bit, but it's I don't know. He's more of a. All around than just that Damian Lillard, you know,
shoot the lights out type guard. I understand,
but he can score the ball. Obviously, he averaged like 16, 17 a game this year. Shoots like 36-3, like 42 from the field. So he's solid. Ja Morant, everybody's seen the Ja Morant show.
Yeah, we're gonna be nowhere near him. Just
nowhere near Ja Morant. If you're Phoenix and you get the number one pick, do you take Zion or do you take Ja Morant? Because you gotta think, you need a point guard to go next to Booker. You just got Ayton. I mean, I think Zion's was a 3-4 in the league. He can play 3-4-5, honestly.
Yeah, I get it. And I'm in that camp that believes, like, if you're the number one pick and you take anyone but Zion, you should lose your job. Like,
okay, so you think you just – the pressure's on you to just take Zion.
Yeah, like, yeah, and you figure it out.
And the team needs a Zion Williams.
Yeah.
You got to get it like that, yeah.
Like, and I understand, like, how much Ja can bring to your roster. And, like, the pairing is really tantalizing of having Booker and Morant. But, like – We still don't know what Zion could be, and I think that's what the most interesting thing is about his game. Like,
right,
like we've only seen a year
with Zion today. So I'm watching, and they played UCF Central Florida, and it's just crazy. He just seems like he just wills his team. Like, he has like a will, like,
because
all the stuff he does is like he's doing it because he knows he has to do it. But nothing looks like that fluid. Like, the jumper still looks a little bit weird coming off his shoulder. He's probably gonna bring his release point up a little higher when he gets to the league. Shoot it a little bit more straight up. When he's off the dribble doing moves, like, sometimes he just like take a big hop step in the lane, just jumping and finishing. Like, all that's gonna get like fluid, more and more fluid. Like, he's still gonna
be able to get his while working all of those things out.
He's gonna be so good.
Like, I think just like how agile he is what shocks me every single time I see him play. Like, Like right. that spin move tonight to get into the lane and then finish the and one to over Taco. Like a move like that late game, like after you kind of lost the ball, like stay composed, finish.
Late game, that's a big thing to say. Because it'd literally be like, you know, late second half, he's just jumping. Like he looks like he's out there fresh and everybody, you know what I mean? Everybody else is, you know, winded and everybody else look like humans and he's just stuck there just jumping.
And he doesn't waste the step either. I think this is the last thing I'll say about him. Like you see him like, when he's boxed, like not boxing out because he doesn't have to box out, but like when he's getting like in position to get offensive rebound, like he stalks like the baseline, like he's like stalking the rim, and like you just see him fly out of anywhere. Like if you watch, like if you kind of just keep your eyes on him, like every single time he has a beat on the ball, right. And like it's just like it's that's something you can't teach or coach, man.
Like I love when he just on a like you said on a block and. They just lob it over. He would just catch it. Like today, he jumped up to the top of the backboard, called it, came down, and just dunked it over. It's so crazy. It's like when he's in the league with other he's in the league with other guys that are super athletes too.
Yeah.
And they run like he's gonna be catching so many. Yeah. Lobs, the passes will be better. So many back. Oh my god.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm going crazy right now with Zion, but man, who you have to be, man. This is one of the most intriguing like prospects since Bron.
I would like to see him go to Chicago, play with LaVine. I think that'd be a good pairing.
Man. They'd be good anywhere. But a couple more names I got before we wrap it up. PJ Washington.
Okay.
Kentucky. I like his game. Stretch. He can shoot it. Cam Johnson.
Yeah, from UNC. Yeah. Got a ratchet.
Another big fella can shoot it. DeAndre Hunter. He's a local guy.
Yeah. We talked about him before. 6'7". Lengthy, the quote-unquote 3-and-D guy that everyone loves, but he's a lot more than that. I think he can play in between in between possessions, I think is the term you like to use a lot.
Yes, sir. To where and, Marcus Howard from Marquette. He's a bucket. He's a bucket.
Only person that came to play against Murray State.
You said what?
Only person that came to play against Murray State.
Yeah, I'm interested to see where he falls in the league and how you know, he makes it. And that Thibault kid, I don't know how to say his first name, Mike Teese or something. He's been there since Markell was there at Washington. Yeah. Thibault, but he plays defense. He's like all-time leading steals leader there at Washington. So he's 30. He's another prospect I was looking at. But, the tournament should be back, Thursday? You get the little break. So I think that's when we'll probably be back again this week, Thursday.
Yeah, we're just trying to hit you guys at the top or bottom of the week and
Friday around that
recap area. NBA news. We decided to come out today specifically, let the first two rounds of the tournament pass by and just include that in TNT Hoops. But once again, thanks for listening, guys. Keep liking, rating, reviewing. The content will be out there.
Make sure you listen and tell a friend.
Yeah.
TNT Hoops.
TNT Hoops, baby.